Here she was kind of joking. We have a small group here, but you got to remember, as we learned at CSUB when the cop tried to kick us out and he found out that we actually had a hero in our group, he says, you know, great things always start small. So a year from now, just imagine yourself a year from now, and you're going to be here and we're going to have this place full, or we won't be able to meet here, because and we're going to think, wow, that was so cool. That was so cool, being part of the group that got this whole thing started. So, anyway, our lesson's going to be pretty quick. We'll finish by 8:30, have a little discussion, and we'll maybe even share some follow-up cupcakes, possibly. All right? Wow. So we're doing a three-week series on the One Another passages. And then, by the way, we're going to go back and probably going to study an Old Testament book. I haven't decided which one yet. So we're going to do a study in the Old Testament. So we're going to bounce back and forth between, you know, in-depth Bible study and practical Christianity. So we did two lessons, kind of apologetics of what about who is the real Jesus. And then we're doing 3 weeks on the One Another passages. Okay, got it? So last week, hello to our friend Michael, last week, we looked at loving one another, and actually there are two different Greek words. Actually, there's more than two, but in our study, there are two Greek words that are translated as love. And even if you don't know the Greek word, do you remember the sense of those two words?
Yeah, it was like loyalty. That was one, right?
Brotherly love, which is family love, affection, closeness. Phileo, which we get Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love, and then agape. And generally, the kind of love that we associate directly with Christianity is that agape love. All right, and that's true, but actually, when I talk about loving one another, I kind of spend a little bit more time on that family love, that warmth, that family feeling, which I believe we're doing a pretty good job on. But amen. All right, so we talked about that. And then we talked about submitting to one another. And we talked about submitting to one another, although the term is actually a military term, and it's talking about, yes, sir, essentially, submitting in a military way. I propose that we could apply that in a way somewhat differently, like as in put yourself at somebody else's disposal. Be willing to listen to them, even when you don't agree with them. And that sort of thing. Got it? And then we talked about serving one another. And that's pretty straightforward stuff. So I'm going to get to our lesson. So we have several other one another passages. We're going to talk about bearing with one another, encouraging one another, being devoted to one another, teaching and admonishing one another, confessing your sins to one another, accepting one another, carrying each other's burdens, forgiving one another, encouraging each other, and building each other up. These different things. Okay, got it? So, point number four in our one another passages is carry each other's burdens. Okay? So we're going to do that. Galatians 6, 2 through 5. Now this passage is actually, if you read it carefully, it's a little bit surprising. It says two different things. I'm going to go back to verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each of you should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now he says two different things here. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens. Right? But then in Galatians 6:5, he says, each one should carry their own load. So which is it? We should carry our own load, or we should carry other people's load? All right, they're both true. All right, yes.
Josh Leong actually gave a good.
Oh, but don't tell them because I'm the teacher and you don't want to. I'm just kidding. You can tell, but let me say it, okay?
Okay.
I'm sure Josh Leong taught this correctly. I'm sure he did. All right, but then you know. All right.
Excuse me. Man.
All right. So basically, then. In Greek, there are two different words, okay? Galatians 6:5, the word is phortion, phortion, which means cargo or load, but it can be translated as burden. So it's kind of like a backpack. All right, so everyone should carry their own backpack. Yes.
Four.
Yeah, I'm doing verse 5. All right.
That,
yes. Phortion. Did I put an R in there?
No.
Not in that one.
All right. Well.
Should there be an R?
I don't think so. You can look it up in the interlinear. Okay. Whenever I step into Greek, I forgive me. If I ever talk about the Greek, understand this, folks. I don't speak Greek. I know the Greek alphabet. I know a little bit about Greek grammar. I don't know the language of Greek. And when I supply a Greek word, I hope I'm not trying to just impress you. I tend to supply a Greek word when it seems relevant to what we're teaching here. So what's this mean? I think what this means is, you know, the basic stuff, other people shouldn't be having to take care of that stuff for you. Okay? So what that means is you need to pay your own bills. You need to clean up your messes. You need to get your own car fixed. You need to take care even of routine relationship issues. If you got a problem with somebody, you know, most of the time, I would say a good majority of the time, figure it out. Work it out between the two of you. You know, you shouldn't have to be reminded, certain people, about going on dates. You should just take care of that happening. We've had that discussion. Make routine decisions. You know what? Probably you don't need help to decide which cereal to buy or which shoes you should buy. We don't need advice on these smaller things. And if you can, it's right here in my notes, it says, if you can, get a car. So you don't have to burden other people with giving you rides all the time. It's right here in my notes. If you can, become financially independent of your parents. If you can. Because then you're less likely to have to go back to Galatians 6:2. So this is practical Christianity. Practical Christianity. So it's interesting because God wants us to carry each other's burdens. But he doesn't want us to have to always carry each other's burdens. Get that? In fact, if we will take Paul's admonition to carry our own burdens, then we'll be able to carry other people's burdens. Okay, got that? And Paul is so practical here. So I believe, although we teach one another, we teach family, we teach discipling, we teach being willing to get advice, I believe there's a healthy level of independence in Christianity that's actually a good thing. But there's also a healthy level of dependence. And Paul is asking us to find and have both of those in our life. All right, so then, if you go back to Galatians 5, verse 6, verse 2, although in English, in the NIV, it both says burden, it's a different word in the Greek. It's heavy load. So here we go. Carry your own burden, but bear one another's burden. All right? Nobody can carry that. And all of us in our life have these kind of burdens. Not always, not every day. But you know what? When anybody in our fellowship has one of these things, it needs to be all hands on deck, right? Got it? And if you think about your life, the six of us here are quite young. Hello. Oh, is that Marianella? All right. So three of the seven of us are quite young, and four of the seven of us are older. Okay, got it? So those of us who are older, we can share several examples in our life where we were in trouble. We had some really serious stuff going on. And that's when we need to, as disciples, step in. So a good example of that is actually Matthew 25, 1 through 13. We don't need to turn there. It's the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. And the foolish virgins did not make sure their oil lamps were always full. They started out well, but they failed to prepare ahead of time to keep enough oil in the lamp. So when the bridegroom came, they didn't even get to go to the funeral, to the wedding. I don't know. That was a little Freudian slip there. I don't know. But anyway, and what's interesting in that story is the wise virgins were not able to give any oil to the foolish virgins in that case. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I believe that. So we need to basically kind of keep up with stuff. Pay your bills. Stay healthy. Get enough sleep. Get enough food. Get enough exercise. Maintain healthy relationships in most situations. And then what's going to happen is sometime in your life, you're going to have a financial catastrophe. Sometime in your life, you're going to have a relationship catastrophe. For example, in the church, we have boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, and when one of those breaks up, I don't care what you say, that's a catastrophe. All right? And then we need to step in there. So there's financial catastrophes, there's relationship catastrophes, there's health catastrophes, there's natural disasters. All right, and if we look at the context is, I purposely had us read verse 1, where it seems like he's almost changing the subject, but he's not. He says, brothers and sisters, if somebody's caught up in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. So sometimes there's going to be somebody in your fellowship who is getting majorly caught up in sin. And you might have to step into that kind of situation as well. Part of carrying each other's burdens is if somebody in the fellowship is doing lousy, you need to step in there. All right? And that's the thing. You know, we're all busy. We're all busy. But you need to keep some space in your schedule for the unscheduled things. Be on the lookout. And be watching. And if you see a brother or sister is not carrying their own load, you know, encourage them to carry their own load. Encourage them to do something about that. But we also need to be on the lookout. And I'd say if you've been a Christian for long, you're going to learn how to see. You're going to see the look in their eye, and you're going to say, wow, what's going on here? All right? And then you need to pull people aside. So we need to be prepared to do this for those who may be straying from the fellowship, although we don't have anybody like that right now. We need to do this for people we're studying the Bible with. Generally, people we're studying the Bible with got all kinds of stuff going, just all kinds of stuff, right? And if you're not willing to carry their burdens, now, technically, I'm going outside what the Bible's saying here. It says carry one another's burdens. He's talking about within the fellowship, but I think this applies outside the fellowship. Okay, that's point number one. All right, I like this one there. That donkey definitely could not carry that burden. I found that one on the internet. I think that's an actual real picture. Yeah. All right. And so, if this is your brother or sister, you need to step in there. And by the way, sometimes the way we step in there is finding somebody else to help them. If somebody's having a mental health breakdown, probably need to find somebody else for that, unless you're an expert in that area. All right, if somebody's, you know, all right, the bottom line is we're family and we need to bear each other's burdens. Okay, got it? Okay, next, bear with one another. Bear with one another. All right, let's read some passages on that topic. Ephesians 4:2. All right. Now, he starts the first half with a very wise thing. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, why would we have to bear with each other? Why would we have to bear with each other? Right. If you've ever had a roommate for more than a few weeks, did they ever start annoying you? Mm-hmm. Yes. The bottom line is, as a church, we're a really tight fellowship. I hate to say it, but probably in most churches in America, they don't have to worry about bearing with one another because they hardly know each other. All right? So it's like, hey, whatever. See you next week. But the bottom line is, I believe that the Christian church, and Jesus, I like the look on that lady's face. Like, I can't believe that person did that. I can't believe they don't put the cap on the toothpaste. I can't believe they put the forks in upside down in the dishwasher. Can't believe that.
That's funny.
I can't believe that they got their hair completely cut off right down to the scalp. Whatever it would be, all right? Got it?
Yeah.
So, we need to learn to love people who are super different from us. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Bible says to love one another. Does the Bible say to like each other?
No.
No. So, you don't have to like everybody in the church. Honestly, you don't. Aren't you glad to hear that? All right? Because he says, bear with one another. Which implies there's people in the church you flat out aren't going to like that much. Okay? But we need to bear with one another. In other words, we need to be able to tolerate people. Let's say you're a perfectionist. Who's going to drive you crazy? Sloppy people. What if you're a sloppy person? Who's going to drive you crazy? The perfectionist. You know, there's this rule about marriage, which is that opposites attract. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's funny. It's like in a marriage, there's certain things they totally have in common. That's kind of why they came together. But there's those other things they didn't even think about. Then they get married, they discover it usually, which is that they're so opposite in certain ways. But I think that's God's way of kind of balancing us out. So guess what? You need to love people who thinks Dungeons and Dragons is a great way of using their time. By the way, I'm not in that group. All right? You need to love people who kill innocent animals and fish. It's called hunting. It's called hunting. You need to love people who love to go shopping. You need to love right-wing conservative political people. You need to love those wacko progressives who you think probably are almost communist. You need to love people who dress ridiculously. You know, that doesn't mean you don't encourage them a little bit in that area, but you know what? You need to love them anyway. You need to love people who are kind of like, why do they spend that much money on clothes? I mean, I'm not saying it's right that they're doing that. I'm also not saying it's right that they're... But the bottom line is, we need to bear with each other. All right? You need to love those who need dental work and need to take showers more often. That doesn't mean you don't help them out in that area. But we got to bear with each other. Okay? We need to love those who are so outgoing. It's like, give me a break. And we need to love people who barely ever talk at all. What is the key, according to this passage? Just read this passage. What is the key to bearing with one another? Verse 2. Feel free to chime in, Marianella or Michael. What is the key, according to Ephesians 4, verse 2, to bearing with one another? Being patient and humble and gentle, those things, okay? So we need to recognize, you know, Jesus said, he gave the golden rule, which is, you know, basically, you know, to treat others the way you'd want to be treated. Have you ever heard of the platinum rule?
What?
Yeah, it's not in the Bible. It's treat others the way that they would want to be treated. Okay? That's bearing with one another. You know? So, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. How about do unto others what they would want you to do unto them? Okay, got it? That's bearing with one another. That's the platinum rule, especially applicable in marriage. Trust me on that. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Okay? And if you have a roommate, I guarantee you, you have a grievance. It's impossible not to have a grievance. If you don't have a grievance, like, don't you have any opinions about anything? Okay? And, all right, so notice, this is so similar to the passage, right? It talks about patience. It talks about humility. But what other thing does he add kind of at the end of this passage that might help us with bearing with one another?
Forgiving.
Yes, forgiving. That means bearing with people who are still struggling with a particular sin. In marriage, if you ever get married, the person you marry will have sins that they will never completely defeat till the day you die. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, sort of yes and sort of no. I mean, it's a sin. It's not okay. It's never okay to sin. But the spouse should be able to say, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I don't like it. I don't even agree with it. In fact, it's wrong. You know what? You know, I'm going to bear with that. You know, we easily bear with those who have the same sin we have. Our problem is we're really good at that. They're lousy at that. And we think, man, that's a terrible sin. And they think my sin is so terrible. What's wrong with them? Well, just look at yourself. And again, it doesn't mean that sin is okay, but the sinner is okay. Got it? It doesn't mean the sin is okay, but it means the sinner is okay. I've heard it said, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. I don't know. I don't know about that. I would say love the sinner, love the sinner. Okay? That's what I would say. Because like I said, there are going to be sins that literally you don't overcome in your lifetime. And it's not okay, but it is okay. Okay? You got that? And maybe from God's perspective, it's not okay. But from your perspective, it needs to be okay. That's how we are get along in the church. Now, very close. These three are almost the same. You know what I'm saying? Well, not so much carry each other's burdens, but number 5 in our list, bear with each other. Number 6 in our list, accept one another. These are pretty closely related, but I want to talk about it. Romans 15, verse 7. Romans 15. We're doing practical Christianity right here. Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant to the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs would be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. All right, so he's talking about accepting one another, and what's the context?
He's talking to disciples.
Yes. Right, but there's a very specific context in verse 8. Ah,
Jews and Gentiles.
Now, we don't have that issue. We do not have that issue. All right? We really don't. I mean, in our fellowship, Jewish Christians or not Jewish Christians, whatever, it is literally not a factor at all that I've ever seen in any way whatsoever. But aren't you glad that in the Bible it uses examples that we can't relate to? Because we can look at it from a distance and not get all emotionally caught up in it. But I'm telling you, the church in Rome, when Paul said accept one another, and he's talking about Jews accepting Gentiles and Gentiles accepting Jews, that was big stuff. Because at least up until this time, the Jews generally would not eat pork, even though they're Christians. Okay? And, you know, they ate kosher. And there were a lot of things that they simply wouldn't do. And they were around disciples who did do that. Okay? And so we need to be able to accept each other. And this comes in areas of conscience, especially. And there's this whole section of Romans 14. We're not going to go into it. Let me read Romans 14, 19 through 23. So I'll give you some of the feeling for what he's talking about. Romans 14, 19 through 23. He says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. So he's talking in the context, it comes up in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, that the thing, again, not our issue in the slightest, was meat sacrificed to idols. So the Jew, or most Jews, would say, how could you possibly buy meat in the marketplace that had been prior used as in a sacrifice in some pagan temple?
Resold it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that most meat you'd buy in the market, somebody had done some sort of a mumbo jumbo pagan, total, completely godless, animistic thing to that animal, and then they're selling the meat.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Alright, and there were Christians who thought, how could anybody ever eat that meat? Because you're basically joining in with them. And Paul said, okay, great, but honestly, an idol is nothing. So if meat is sacrificed to nothing, then it didn't do anything to the meat. And so, you know, it's not a sin to eat that meat. It's just meat. All right, that's the truth. But a lot of people in the church couldn't see it that way. So what did Paul say he would do about that?
He wouldn't do that so that he doesn't cause him to fall.
Right. Now, I bet when Paul was on his own traveling from place to place, nobody around, he just go ahead and eat the meat, you know, whatever. It's not hurting somebody. So accepting one another means being willing to not do something that's not sinful because somebody else thinks that it is. Okay? Yeah. And this is a nuanced subject. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians and Romans, you'll see Paul actually argues for both sides. He talks about the strong and the weak. In that case, the strong person, in quotes, is the one who says, why is, there's nothing wrong with that. And the weak one who says, well, it sure bothers me. And I'm telling you, all of us are, in quotes, strong on some subjects and weak on others. And you could be weak without being a weak Christian. I'm going to give a practical example. Jan and I fully agree that tattoos are stupid. We just do. In fact, both of us are tempted to feel like, why would a Christian who's respecting the body given them by God, why would they ever get a tattoo? That's okay. All right. So, does that mean none of you should ever have a tattoo?
Yes.
So, you know, accepting one another means there's going to be some give and take here. There's going to be some give and take. All right. For example, drinking. Paul, Jesus drank wine occasionally. Paul advised Timothy to drink some wine because of a stomach issue he had. But are there people in our church who shouldn't be drinking at all? Yeah. Anybody who's ever been an alcoholic shouldn't touch it at all. And there are other people, honestly, they just don't understand. So, you know, I drink a beer every once in a while, but you're not going to see me pulling out a beer and swigging on it during one of our meetings. I'm not going to do that. Okay, so there's ideas about dating. We have a fairly conservative sort of advice we give about dating, which I think is really, really based on some great wisdom, and I'm not embarrassed about any of it. But, you know, it's not a sin to go outside of that advice range. So, but on the other hand, if you do that, flat out, it might make somebody stumble, okay? So accepting one another is a tough road to travel, or to use a farming analogy, it's a tough row to hoe. So we need to accept differences on debatable matters. And at times, that means not doing it, because you know it's going to bother somebody. At times, it means it bothers you. It just flat out does. But you're going to not make an issue about it. Okay? Stuff like what kind of songs we have at church. And some people have various standards about who should be up publicly in front of church. I've seen this happen. I mean, in Bakersfield, it was a big thing, man. It was practically a blow-up situation, you know? I won't go into it. But the Bible doesn't say, you know, that, you know, somebody has to be a faithful, baptized, repentant, totally awesome, amazing, strong Christian to get up in front of the church. And yet, I think most of us feel like that's probably, you know. Anyway, you got that? I'm not taking a stand here. I have an opinion on that, but I'm not expressing my opinion right now. So we need to accept those who are weak, which means they have very sensitive conscience, and they can't do it. All right. So if you're in the home of a Mormon, if you have a Mormon over your house, don't serve coffee. Come on. Seriously. Is it going to hurt you to skip Diet Coke because you have a Mormon in your house? Got it? People have different ideas about what roles women should be taking in the public worship. Okay? We need to accept each other. That doesn't mean you never say anything. Doesn't mean you don't express your opinion. If you have a strong opinion, express it. But let that person know. I'm not going to, you know, we're going to be friends on this. We're not going to let this cause a division. All right? Some people say, I'm going to get really sensitive here. Some people in our fellowship say we should go out of our way to make sure we're raising people of color up to leadership in our church, because that says something great to the world. Other people say, why would that? That doesn't make any sense at all. You should, whoever is the most talented, has the most ability, that's like reverse racism. This is a real thing. I'm not just making this up. This is real, okay? And we're going to have different opinions about that. The Bible says accept one another. What kind of movies you can watch? I'm telling you, there's some difference of opinion amongst faithful Christians. I'd say when in doubt, let's be conservative on that. To me, I don't know if you agree, to me, when in doubt, let's be conservative. I think that's a pretty good policy. But we can't let that run rampant to the point where, oh my goodness, women have to wear a veil to church every time and they better not ever say a single word at church, otherwise we're in, you know. Let's be real about it. It's hard to find the right balance on accepting one another. It's hard. Dating practices, giving of receiving advice, these kinds of things, tattoos, drinking. Accepting one another does not mean saying nothing. All right? It doesn't mean shut up. It means say what you think and let the person know that you accept them. Okay, got it? It doesn't mean everything goes. It doesn't mean that. There are going to be situations where I guarantee you it's going to cause a lot of problem to a lot of people. And I'd say at that point, you are sinning if you do it, even though it's technically not a sin. Got it? The Bible says accept one another. All right. So I promise you I'd keep it fairly short. Our next one is forgive one another. Well, that's pretty close. All right. But I think that's enough. So we're going to talk in our next Wednesday. We're going to talk about encouraging one another, being devoted to one another. Oh, my goodness. Can we do all these things in 1 week? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Good. So here's our discussion questions. We can do it as a group. We can have our friends chime in, or we can break up into smaller groups. I don't know. So our discussion questions are, can you think of a situation in which someone else had to bear your burden? And what was that like? What are some things that other people do that cause you to struggle? I mean, just being real. Things that actually happen in the church, which you have a feeling may not technically actually be a sin, but you really wish they didn't happen. And are there any hot button gray areas that you tend to get judgmental about? You know, gray areas. You know what a gray area is?
Yeah.
Yeah, gray. Okay, good. So let's see. I'm used to having groups of 20 or 30 in Bakersfield, so we'd break up into groups of 3 or 4. We're at the perfect size where I don't know if we should do small groups or not. All right, we can just have a group discussion here. All right, let's. What I'm going to do then is we're going to open for a discussion. Okay, do you all online remember the questions? Oops. Remember the questions? Can you think of a situation where you really, somebody needed to bear a burden of yours? What was that like? What are some other things that other people do that, honestly, although it's probably not actually a sin, it just bugs you? And then what are some hot button gray areas you tend to be judgmental about? Okay, so I'm going to pop over here, and we're going to have a discussion, and I guess I'll be in on the discussion. Somebody jump in there.
Don. Yeah, go.
Basically, in the weak versus strong thing, the one who is weak is the conservative person. So, for example, on dating, Don, you're aware that our fellowship has had dating advice, correct? So the conservative person says, you better not break any of those rules, otherwise you're sinning. All right. And the liberal one says, yeah, they're guidelines, which is what they are. And, you know, really, whatever. You know, they basically ignore it completely. Okay. Conservative on, say, tattoos. Jan and I already confessed we kind of lean on the conservative side there. The liberal side is whatever, your body, your thing, or, you know, it's, you know, whatever.
Your body's a canvas.
Yeah, okay. Don, there are probably some issues where conservative and liberal is not clear cut, but I'd say in almost every issue, it's not hard to figure out what we're talking about. And like I said, all of us are, in quotes, weak in certain areas, mm-hmm. and strong in other areas. And it has almost nothing to do with how strong a Christian you are. Okay? Got it? So, what's that? I know you are, Marianella. It's not a secret to me. Were you going to share something, Alana?
Over number one, I was just going to say that Monica carries the burden of the
practice. Excuse me, let Alana talk, please. Go ahead, Alana. Okay. Monica bears the ride-giving burden. But hopefully within 1 week...
Her paw's bleeding.
It's literally bleeding?
It's literally bleeding.
Okay. Hopefully within 1 week, we're going to have another person to give rides. Oh, Melody.
I'm looking for a car.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Oh, you should get a horse or something.
Anyway. A horse, yeah.
Yeah, but see, if you ride a horse around in town, you have to clean up the manure. So that's not very practical. Yeah.